This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
All right, folks, we are alive here once again from the DNC. We have Dr. Chavis at the table from the NNPA. And we have two very special guests. Y'all know I do. I bring everybody together because we're all here at the same time. Ladies first, Christine Pelosi, the daughter of Nancy Pelosi. Christine, forgive my ignorance. Are you still chair of the California Democrats?
I am, I'm on the National Federation of Democratic Women and DNC member from California.
Okay, good to see you.
Delegate.
You're a delegate.
I am a delegate.
Congratulations. And also the president of the National Urban League, Mark Morial.
Hey, good to be with you and good to be with the NNPA family.
Yes, right.
You and Dr. Chavis and also with Ms. Pelosi.
Christine, tell us how this is feeling to you right now, how this historic moment feels.
I'm so happy. You know, I met Kamala Harris when I was a law student, and she was a few years ahead of me at UC Law San Francisco. We practiced together in the San Francisco DA's office. She was running a career criminal department, and I was in the sexual assault child abuse unit. And so there was a lot we discussed about vulnerable victims and our responsibilities, not just to the victim, but to the family, particularly the family violence situation. I've seen her in the courtroom. We all saw her in the Senate hearing room. And, you know, now she's in a situation where soon she will be behind that desk in the
Yeah, that's a big deal. How you feel about that?
It's been refreshing to feel the enthusiasm and the sense of a coalition emerging, a 21st century coalition emerging out of this conference, out of this convention, and out of this work. And I think Vice President Harris has given people an opportunity to see the next generation of American leadership.
Yeah.
She's the first Gen X candidate to run for president. So in many respects, we had baby boomers since Bill Clinton all the way through Joe Biden. It represented a baby boom generation, an important generation. But now this is a new generation. And I think that's why you've seen the shifts, the changes, the building of support and enthusiasm among young Americans under the age of 40, who I think hold the key mark to the outcome of this this election.
Indeed, indeed. Dr. Chavis was sharing with us some breaking news. Christine, I don't know if you've heard this.
Yes, within the hour, former President Trump is on the phone with Prime Minister Rudy Negley, telling him not to sign the ceasefire deal. Obviously, Trump I never know. We have the interests of the Israelis, or have the interests of the Palestinians, or have the interests of the Americans. I just think that that's why this election is so crucial. I think that we're ever going to have peace anywhere in the world, meaning Kamala Harris is president of the United States. And if we go backwards and give it on each other, I bet this is going to must be the heir of the future of America, because going back, it's really going forward. I just want to say that the urban age and all the work to do with Democrats, when it's just so vital. And I think the good thing about the joy at this convention, we never got to take that joy back to our neighborhoods, our grassroots organizations, and not let what happened in 2016 happen.
Yes.
But we're so excited that we don't do that one year, that grassroots home year. This is going to be a margins election. And so we are the leaders of the black press. One thing I want to ask you on the record, what's your feeling? I know you are both in the media about the mainstream press, but how important is the black press and press that represents community of color?
I'll go first. As you know, I'm a proud subscriber to about 20 to 25 of your newspapers, and look at them assiduously every single week. And you carry my column, and I think what the black press is a source of original information. So what you see in the black press are stories, features, perspectives that you're not going to see in the mainstream press. And I think in this environment, it's vital to understand also that the black press is print and digital, and of course broadcast as well. And that's a testament to your leadership, Ben, in understanding that the content needs to find all and new channels. What I would hope is that as we emerge, is that more people would recognize the power of the black press in this increasing mosaic diaspora, gumbo of the American community, right? Many, many voices. There's a dynamic Latino press. There's a dynamic LGBTQ press. There are many bloggers, influencers, publications that focus on women's issues. And so media and information is now 1,000 points of information. And the black press is vital to that.
I think that's absolutely true. And I salute your work, Dr. Again, we've been expanding to the digital format because we had always typically borrowed two books on campaigning when I always tell people advertise on those weekends because they sit around the salon or the, phone or the shop all week long. And so they may not read it right away, but it's sitting around, they read it later. But something people trust, it's voices that they trust. They don't always agree. I'm sure your readers send you in some reactions to your comments, but they know who you are. You're a trusted voice and a voice with whom they can engage. And I think that's really important, reaching people how they are. I think it's also very important we're doing it in a multilingual way.
Yes.
Various voices in the Asian press, and Latino press. And I think Kamala Harris is very, very open to that because she knows when you speak right in California, you have to do all of that.
Yeah.
And let me just say one thing for my co-workers. We have just failed. We failed Hillary. We failed Democrats. We failed ourselves. And we realized that after COVID. So I think it's really important that white women talk to one another.
Yes.
And let this campaign be led in the multi-ethnic way that it's being led and not just take over. You know, we with black women isn't just a slogan. It needs to be a cause and it needs to be.
And I think the issue of reproductive justice speaks to not only choice, but it speaks to something much broader, and that is health disparities and access to health. And African-American women find themselves in many instances the farthest away from a primary care physician, the farthest away from a hospital, and for many younger African-American women, least likely to have the type of health coverage that you really need. And so we've got to continue to define and speak about this. And Barack Obama accomplished, and your mother, Speaker Pelosi at the time, was instrumental in this. I have a signed letter that she shared with me after the Affordable Care Act passed. But that was a down payment on this idea of health care for all. And so I'm confident in Kamala Harris. But what is necessary is that people recognize the need to vote up and down the ballot.
Right.
In places like California and New York, they're important races that will determine absolute control of the House and the Senate. I cannot stress how important it is that we understand that we've got to vote from president all the way down to school board, constable, and sheriff in local jurisdictions.
This one will not be. I was in 1968 convicted. Listen, I was a young I was American on the day of this. I meet them there and turn to them. Back to crap. Won't be admitted. This conviction is almost a celebration of American diversity.
Yes.
Show that we can live. They're in a big network. They can't build these coalitions. I think that's what can make a difference in Michigan. You know, we all know the moment of living. We're going to deny this vote of tenure. And we make a mischief. Despite all of the bullets, despite all of the news and community, it's allowed to get the message to the system. It's us to vote. And we decided to do some of this distance the most. As you mentioned, young people, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there targeting our landlords and families and saying, time we don't have to dip the account. So I didn't try and look at it bluntly about the system. And that's what I bought an equity in Moody Chain. It's doing the same system.
It's got to be persistent. So I thank you for yours. And I would just point out that Kamala Harris, one of the things that she has said for years, because I worked in California in the coalition that was working on Black maternal health outcomes. So we're part of an overall thing we did to lift the cap on medical malpractice, because it was $250,000 since 1974.
And
I remember with the contract on America that they did in 1994, they wanted to take that limit nationwide. Yeah. So we went, we have lost a few times at the ballot box, all the time in the legislature. But what we did specifically 2 years ago, and what ended up breaking the logjam, was to specifically center it on Black moms and Black babies, and talk about how this is a big part of what healthcare needs to be about. And as Kamala Harris always points out, the states that have the highest maternal mortality also have the most draconian abortion bans.
Yes.
So when you talk about your kitchen table and giving everyone in the family a voice, it's ultimately the woman's decision, but giving everybody in the family a voice in that decision, understand how much of an economic issue this is. And that is a difference. In 2008, 2009, we couldn't talk about abortion as a kitchen table issue. People were just not ready to make that argument. But now we are, and we're saying this is a fact of life. And it's also a fact of life that if you want to talk about creating more wealth, more Black wealth, more entrepreneurship, we also have to talk about healthcare. Because everything can be going well. You could almost get there, but if you're sick and you don't have healthcare, you are wiped out. So the plan to eliminate medical debt and to expand healthcare, plan to expand maternal outcomes, healthy births and happy birthdays, that's all going to be in this platform that we are going to adopt this week under the leadership of Kamala Harris. And I think that is a great message to put back in those local tables.
Well, it's all about the issues you described so eloquently on the ballot, as will be many other than.
That's going to be many other issues.
Closer. I appreciate all of you. We're going to be all right. Women going to do right this time. I mean, you feel confident about that?
I feel confident that we work every day of the 77 days between now and November 5th. We are going to bring home a victory for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Christine Pelosi, love you. How's the family? Everybody okay?
Dad's coming along. Everybody's good.
Good. Kids okay?
Kids are okay.
All right.
Kids are all right.
Good. Mark, good to see you, brother.
Thank you, Mark.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And folks, just everybody's here. It's like a reunion. Erica Lowe is here. She's sitting over there. She's not on camera. I don't know why. But you want to be on camera? Why not?
Got to be.
She's made for camera. This is what I'm saying. I don't understand what people do. ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Stephen Benjamin is here. I guess that's all I could say, because you have to be in your personal capacity. From a personal point of view, how is this feeling this week?
This is an exciting week. I mean, we're talking about history on so many different levels, but not history for history's sake. History has gotten us to a point where we have an incredibly talented and gifted public servant who's given her entire life to serving the people. I only had one client her whole life, the people of this country. Rising to the very top in a meritocracy. We've had the first day was fantastic. The president, amazing job making the case for the Biden-Harris record, passing the baton to her in an amazing way, but also showing that the humility of going from the most, literally the most powerful person on the face of the earth, to saying that now it's my time to volunteer. I'm going to be volunteer number one. And, you know, and what that takes in terms of humility and self-sacrifice was powerful last night. I was a tearjerker last night, but folks are ready to get to work. This place is electric, and I can't wait to see what the next few months brings.
It was historic for him to do that,
mm-hmm.
to step aside and do what even he felt was the best thing to do for the country.
Yeah, indeed. My kids have listened to, they memorized the Hamilton soundtrack. We had to go watch it a couple of times on Broadway. But they gave off George Washington undertones. The when you step aside on for what you believe is the betterment of the republic. And you don't see, particularly those of us who spend most of our public lives in public service, it's rare that you see the level of sacrifice. So it was powerful and made me that much more proud to have served under his leadership these last 2 years.
When's the last time you saw this much excitement in such a compacted amount of town in a campaign like this?
I think it's unprecedented. I mean, it's unprecedented. We're seeing folks who are loving each other, who are preaching kindness and what we can do together, who are speaking about freedom in tones that we understand because of our shared history. We know what freedom is, and we know what freedom isn't.
Right.
And so many of these ideas we've allowed others to co-opt. What freedom is and what faith is and what it means to be an American, and they hear this full throated, no, this is what freedom means. It means bodily autonomy, means the ability to make that you give them a true meritocracy where, yes, equity is also considered where you started, making sure every kid in every zip code has the same opportunities that my children have and your children have. Making sure that people have an opportunity to not just have great jobs, but wealth creation. They have the yoke of debt removed from their necks. I mean, we're talking about $170 billion of student loan debt removed. We're talking about people not having to make choices about getting their medicine or paying their rent. And this, the what the president, vice president pulled off just this past week on getting Medicare the opportunity to negotiate pricing on 10 more drugs that's going to save seniors billions of dollars a year. I mean, it's exciting and rightfully so. And it's good to see people loving on each other, talking about how we build this more perfect union, together. The reality is that we know our country isn't where it, ought to be at, but ain't where it used to be.
Yeah.
And being able to celebrate that and realize we got a whole lot more work to do as we stand on the shoulders of those who laid the foundation, who sacrificed, we have to realize that we're still in service.
You notice he just kind of quoted Carl Stokes. When Carl Stokes won, he said, "We may not be where we want to be, but great God, we show ain't what we were."
Thank God.
But, you know, gentlemen, this was interesting to me. You know, one of the complaints when it comes to politics in America is that we have such long campaign seasons. When she does this, she will have done this in what, about 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think,
that's an interesting observation.
So think about it. In other countries, like let's say even in Britain, they do those snap elections.
Yes.
They do those snap elections.
Yeah.
And it's a couple of weeks. Might this change the process overall? Might this force us to say, we don't want 2-3-year long campaigns?
It may indeed marry up to where we are as a society.
Yeah. You know,
we're with Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and short messages, on point, precise, you know, is the order of the day. It may indeed.
Yeah.
Don't understand.
They're pulling you, man. Uh-huh. We're glad you were able to stop back. Glad
you
take time.
Thank you.
I know you said it was pressing. You're telling the first time Biden speaks loud in this meeting. And you got a tremendous response from the Black American and the tenors of tongue who appreciate what has already been done to include the clients of them. And the fact that Jim is now passing time to Tommy Hummels. That's keeping us from acting. Just want to thank you a little bit short today. To them, and that's different.
Best days ahead of us.
Awesome.
All right. God bless you. Love you, brother.
Erica Lowe is here. She's not on camera, y'all, but she's in background. There she is. There you are. Good to see you. All right. We've got a bunch of folk here. Thank you. Thank you, Roderica.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.